15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. As always, I'm going to ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. If they're in the Philadelphia tri-state area, if they live outside the area, invite them to tune in on the internet simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And also this morning, an email went out to thousands and thousands of our supporters and listeners to remind them about the broadcast today and ask them to invite others to join us. And I ask that you spread that around. We will have a rebroadcast of today's show sent out to you this afternoon by our very able engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. Well, first of all, today, Larkin Connolly, who is a member of our panel, is on a special assignment with a SCORE. And Mark Andel, I have to say, will be with us at some point today, I understand. But he is at a special meeting. He's welcoming his 600th bus. And by the way, there was a very nice article that appeared in the newspaper, and Mark was saying that this was going to be taped and put on TV. Well, that hit this morning, and hopefully Mark will come on and tell us a little bit about it. But I will ask Henry if he will link that to the front page of our site so that we'll be able to show you the nice interview that Mark did with some of the visitors from the 600 bus that visited his store. Also, there's a lot been going on in this country. Oh my God, there has been so much going on. I'm tired. Today, joining me is the very able Rich Logis. And I said to somebody just yesterday, I said, I'm going to try not to be a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent. I'm going to just state things as they are. And I'm going to ask our very able guest, Dr. Logis, if he could be one of all three of them today, the Democrat, the Republican, and the independent. Because Rich and everyone listening and people who will hear this later when they have the rebroadcast on, and we have a new app coming up very shortly. They are working on it where you'll be able to put it on your iPhone and listen to the broadcast live or get a rebroadcast anytime that you go to your iPhone and hit the app. So Mike Sessions, I want to send a shout out to Mike. He's from Go For Made in America. You'll be able to see his link up there too. And he wants to make sure that the app is perfect. When it's available, you'll be able to go to the free app store, just download it on your phone, and it'll increase our availability to you. Let me just say one more thing before we go to Dr. Logis, is that we are just a few thousand hits on the internet link from 4 million viewers for the Million American Jobs Project. It's a very interesting. We went up in just the last few months about 40,000 viewers. So that's very good. We've been promoting it a little bit here on the broadcast and through our commentaries. But about 40, 48,000 people clicked on just in the last 6 weeks. So we need another 45 or 5,000 hits so we can make the 4 million mark. It is the Million American Jobs Project on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, Dr. Rich, I believe we reached a new level of understanding in America as our supporters have seen just how important it is for all Americans, not just a few Americans, but for all Americans to have the opportunity to be employed. That's what the people in Washington are now talking about, employment. Earn money and be able to support themselves and be very happy in the process. The welfare system, the gimme ideas have to be put aside. People have to wake up in the morning and know that they have a place to go, place they're needed, place they're required to be, because that employer needs them to provide an important service. And when I say employer, we have so many jobs out there. Nobody is understanding that. When we look at the debt clock, and I urge people also to look at the debt clock to see just how many people are employed. I had a visitor here the other day, and we looked at the debt clock, and he was kind of shocked how it just never ends. The debt goes up, the unemployment continues to be flat, and nobody in the national level and in many states are even concerned about it. As we discussed many times during our radio broadcast, America began as the place where things were invented, a place to be explored. They arrived, they went to the California and Oklahoma, a place to have a job that would allow them to earn a living and enjoy life. What we're seeing now is just a lot of people who are paid to be in offices doing nothing but wasting time and not looking out for the well-being of the people. I want to also clarify this. Our broadcast is not any particular party, and we're not any particular religious group. And it's very good for me to see as I go around that there are a growing number of Americans of every race, color, and creed that want to see the American dream restored. And with that, I'm going to ask Dr. Logis if he would give us some comments on the few things that I just mentioned. How are you doing, Rich?
Good, Michael. How are you doing? Good morning to yourself and Lark and Mark. And Mark, if you're going to call in, I'd love to have you on. Congratulations on all this great press that you're getting. All the Made in America movement, it's really, Michael, ultimately not about a political party. It's about Americanism, right? And economic, these terms that we hear now, economic populism and doing this, passing the economic policies that first and foremost benefit our workers as opposed to workers in other nations. And as far as the initial thing you said, Michael, about trying to appeal to all sides, you know, for as long as I've been on this show, I've been an independent. Yes, full disclosure, I did change my registration temporarily during the primary because Florida is a closed primary state. We can argue another time if we think that's a good idea or not, but that's what the state is. So I did change my registration temporarily, voted in the primary, and then went back to what's called an NPA in Florida, no party affiliation. So I've spent a lot of years, Michael, trying to credibly build my independent bona fides, and when I'm always, as I always put on my political analyst hat and look around at what's happening and try to be fair and objective about things, I cite the election a lot because it was not just a presidential election, but we had Congress and we had state and local, and there was a very overwhelming voice against many of the policies of the last 8 years. And one of the key tenets of policy of the last 8 years was in this dependency culture that you're talking about right now. That's one of the reasons why we've never had as big a federal government as we'd had. So that of course, contributes to the debt clock that you bring up so often. And I think Larkin a couple weeks ago had that. He cited that statistic about what percentage of our national budget, which is nearly $4 trillion, goes to entitlements. The majority of the country, Michael, I believe, wants Medicare in place. They want Social Security in place. I do think the majority of the country also wants safety nets in place. But I think that now the mindset of the majority is safety nets are supposed to be there for when we fall on hardships from time to time, not safety nets as a lifestyle. And unfortunately, and there, we can argue the reasons why, and there are many, but unfortunately, dependency has become a lifestyle.
I know, Rich, I want to say something in there. having people remain dependent has become an industry in itself. Working in social services to bring people up the ladder so they would be self-sufficient is not a concern anymore. These people in all areas, state level, local, national, are in these positions just as a job. They're there because they're being paid and they'll retire and get a pension or whatever. And they really don't care if poverty is being addressed. How can we have such an unbelievable amount of poverty in America, the great country that America is? Yes, our leaders in Washington have some responsibility for what happened over the years. But when you look at it, everyday Americans also had the responsibility of speaking up, but there was no leader. Another thing, as I go around, Rich, and you'll understand this better than anybody, is people are saying, you know, through this last election cycle and some of the local elections that are starting now, people talk, but they never put anything in writing. When the election is over, no one is ever held accountable. It's like they were forgotten. However, this election, and I don't want to highlight this election, certain things were said, they were recorded during rallies and all, and now people want to hold the president accountable for what he said during the election. I agree with that. Let's hold the president accountable for what he says, because majority of the people feel this should have happened to America. We should have had this change 30 years ago, maybe even more. This should have been put on the burner. But because of political correctness, number one, because of civil liberties union and all this other stuff, people were not coming forward to speak what was really on their minds. That has all changed now. The people in Washington, the local people, are more vocal than I've ever seen. But there's also something that has to happen. The local people, the national people, have to be accountable, because social services, dependency, poverty, that should never be an industry. People should be in that to be paid a salary to help those people get a job, get into job training programs, not to make an industry. It is an industry in many cases, and it has to come to a halt.
Well, the inner cities, Michael, is an issue that for the first time that I have ever remembered in my adult political life, this past election was really the first time on a national level that the chronic ills and problems of the inner cities were brought to the forefront. Now, they weren't brought to the forefront by, and I want to just say, I don't like the term mainstream media. The media is not mainstream, Michael. The vast majority of media It's a sycophant,
right,
a collective sycophant for the Democratic Party. And as we saw from this election, Democrat policies are not mainstream. So I don't like that term. I prefer the term Democrat media industrial complex, to paraphrase the great President Eisenhower. So this issue of the inner cities was really brought to the forefront. And the primary reason it was, Michael, is because President Trump was the first Republican in many elections to go into cities where he knew realistically he would not obtain many of the votes, but nonetheless went into cities where the Republican Party on a national level has essentially neglected these cities. You know, the city of Baltimore is an example I cite all the time. And I don't want to, and again, Michael, I'm going to heed to your request about not being a Republican or Democrat, but we've got to acknowledge also, when you take a city like the city of Baltimore, which by every metric and measure is a city in bad shape, there have been only Democrats in the city council for the last 27,000 days. Now, that's a true mathematical statistic, Michael. I did the math. Only Democrats for 27,000 days. So the real question that the Democrat media industrial complex should be asking on their front pages is, why after 27,000 days haven't you gotten it right? I mean, if you went on a job interview and the employer asked you, hey, Michael, what have you been doing for the last 27,000 days? And you said, nothing. Oh, you're hired. Let's get him in. Let's give him a stock plan and a 401k and the greatest of health care. Now, I can cite, Michael, there are other cities throughout the U.S. that have not been predominantly Democrat, and they've got their problems also. And that's because of this, what's been progressively growing over time, this national culture of like Larkin talks about, the broken family, the culture of jobs going overseas, the culture of opportunity decreasing, and the culture of the government, a political party, going into a city and saying, vote for me, I'll take care of your problems, I'll be your parent, I'll be your nanny, I'll be your god, I'll be your provider. We have enough evidence now, Michael. I think 27,000 days. I could show you other cities where it's been 15,000 days of Democrats. I think after 15, 20, 25,000 days of one party running a city, that's enough evidence to know that whatever the hell they're doing isn't working.
Well, that's right. Rich, whether it's Democrats, Republicans, or independents,
doesn't matter.
The American people have to start to stand up and say, let's have the results, the accomplishments of your particular work in the council or in the governorship or the legislature or whatever. Not just keep re-electing the people because it's a convenient name, a name I've heard about. People have to become more educated. If I ask how many people watch Dancing with the Stars and how many each candidate voted, got votes on the, people would know that. But if you asked how many votes did such and such political candidate get, they don't know anything. And this is where America is going flat.
If we look post-election, okay, now I'm gonna address the healthcare thing in a moment. But if we look at what the president as a candidate campaigned on, here's the funny irony of it. Whether someone likes a president or not, okay, it's irrelevant. People got to get their feelings out of their analysis because people who vote on their feelings, we have to outnumber them at the polls. Okay, that's just the fact, and that's just the reality. And again, I won't say the party, but I'm just going to say that people can infer and figure it out on their own from all my prior comments. So the irony and the sort of comical irony of all this is that Donald Trump is like the first politician in the history of politicians to get criticized for doing what he said he would do.
Right, and he right? And from
he said he told us. He told the country, here's the kind of nominee or justice I'm going to nominate for Supreme Court consideration, Neil Gorsuch. And Neil Gorsuch, and I just want to say about this guy, I'm geeky. I watched some of the hearings. Not to say I agree with all the rulings, but Neil Gorsuch is maybe even more qualified for the court than even the late, great Justice Scalia was when he was nominated by President Reagan. So he said what kind of justice we were going to get. He did it. He told us, he said, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to go ahead and we're going to improve the vetting process for people who are coming from countries that have a concentration of terrorist networks and they move in and out of the countries. Okay, terrorists are not coming from Poland, Michael, right? They're not coming from those places. So he went and he did that. He said, I'm going to sit down with business leaders. We're going to talk about and try to make action out of these meetings to go bring jobs. Well, he did that. Now, the thing with the health care bill, I want to tell everybody, listeners, why I actually think what happened is a good thing. There is a segment within the Republican Party that I do believe is, yes, they have an R after their name, but I do think that they are individuals, and I'll cite them by name, and it's not to say I agree with all their politics, but I look at Rand Paul, I look at Tom Cotton, I look at a guy like Trey Gowdy. Not a big fan of Mike Lee out in Utah as a senator, but these guys said, they got together and they said that Ryan Care, because it is Ryan Care, it always starts at the Congress. People have to understand what laws. Congress passes laws, presidents sign them. Now, they may work together, but the president does not create law. Well, those Republicans, Michael, they got together and they said, this is Obamacare light. This is just more health care dependency. this is just more this or that. And they got together, and that the noise that they made caused the National Republican Party to punt and say, we've got to come back with something. Now, let me tell you why I think that's a good thing, Michael, because it shows me that there's a portion of the Republican Party that actually really did listen to what the American people said in this past election. Can someone tell me one time in 8 years that the Democrats objected to President Obama?
I want someone to,
maybe I'm wrong. This is someone's chance to call in and correct me on air. And I want to be corrected if I'm wrong. I only want the facts and the truth. Can someone tell me one time in 8 years where Democrats objected?
Well, Rich, I want to mention that I agree with the way this health care thing was just pushed aside and they pulled the vote. I'll tell you why I feel that way. First of all, there was not enough information about it shared with the American people. There should have been input from Democrats, Republicans, and independents. Everyone should have wanted to work together to make this thing the best possible program possible. The best possible program possible. This should have been done with the input, public input, of every national health care provider throughout the country. Nobody left out. Let everybody come to the table, and then after the Democrats, the Republicans, the independents, the health care providers had their say, everybody put it together and come up with a document that we can all go to our graves knowing that we have proper health care, that we're not going to be robbed on the way to having our needs addressed, and that when people say that they have masks on in the operating room, it doesn't mean that they're there to rob you. It means that they're there to help you and receive an appropriate amount of money for providing that help.
I know, Michael, what was said publicly from many of the members of Congress, you know, it was a multi-stage bill. We have to get the first bill passed. We're going to move on. I listened to the counter-argument from some of the individuals whom I just cited, and as I listened, and I tried to be objective about it, because we want health care reformed. Okay, this is the issue that seemingly no matter who touches it, it just can't be fixed, and or it can't be dramatically improved. And I listened to the other side, Michael, because I always do try to do that, okay? And I really listen objectively. And the arguments that I was hearing from the counter side of the Republican Party just made a lot more sense to me.
You know, Richard, okay. And another thing, what bugs people and bugs me, too, is that why we don't want Ryan care. We don't want Obamacare. We don't want Trump care. We want America's health care plan. Period. All these personalities have got to get out of the picture once and for all and start focusing on the American people. And that's really what everybody tells me wherever I go. They say the news media, their people are getting tired of the news media, really tired of listening to all them sitting around these panels, knocking each other down as individuals, trying to rip down people's personalities. What is that doing for American workers? Now, the health care plan is necessary to change because it affects every American worker, whether that person's self-employed, working for a major company, working for a local store. People who are able to pay for their health care plan, I think everybody would want to be on the health care plan, not be punished for not being on it. But it was the last plan that was presented 7 years ago by Nancy Pelosi and whoever else was in the operation, like Harry Reid and whatever. Read it to know what is in there. Pass it first, and then you'll know what's in there. This is not the way we're supposed to be doing things. This is what killed America. This is what killed our jobs. This is what killed our livelihood, or put us in $20 trillion in debt. No one ever wanted to stand up and take a real stand on a particular issue. Now there's a president in town. I've had the opportunity to meet with him a few times over the years. this guy, you know, he could have stayed in his business and not worried about it, but he took a different turn in his life, saying, this is something I really feel I can accomplish. The media should be not knocking every issue down, whether it's on any side of the aisle. They should be presenting features. This is what we can do to get this industry back. Let's talk about the trades in our schools. This is what CNN and Fox and everybody else should be focusing on. What is the real reason that our country, Sarah Blackwell told us, they're going all over the world to bring in skilled workers because we don't have them in America? Is that a fact or is that fiction? Why aren't they addressing those types of issues, which would help bring back jobs for American workers, which is what we're all about? And believe it or not, our message, Rich, thanks to you, Larkin, Mark, Henry, our message has gone into many areas. Many radio broadcasters, announce us. They rebroadcast the message that I send out, the commentary. Why is it that the major media is running away? In fact, I don't know how many people watch ABC News, but even David Muir stopped talking about the American Made campaign. It's America Strong now. Why is that? I will tell you why. Because the big companies who buy the advertising on the TV stations don't like that message. They don't like that message. They hate the message, in fact. So he keeps his mouth shut. He's dancing around, because to talk about what we talk about, support the American made label, support local businesses, well, they don't like that. They want you to support the big corporations who will go into their advertising campaign and buy 100 ads or 200 ads and sprinkle them through the days and through the weeks. The small companies don't have the money to do that. And that is why we're looking out for the small guy, the middle guy, and we're looking for the large guy to help produce more American-made stuff so that our people can walk into the store with dollars in their pocket and buy it.
Well, I don't think, Michael, that, and I guess you never say never, but for the foreseeable future, after this election, for anyone who was really paying attention, and one thing about this election is that I think more people than I ever recall in any election at least paid attention and informed themselves somewhat. After this past election, the Democrat media industrial complex was outed in a way that I don't ever recall seeing. And it's a gamut of things, Michael, from reporters asking campaign advisors to check quotes, make sure a story is copacetic, to CNN, Donna Brazile, handing questions for a debate to Hillary Clinton. So after this election, and there's many, many other examples I could cite, but no need to regurgitate them, because I think the credibility of the Democrat media industrial complex took such a blow that the only people consistently watching those networks and reading the billionaire blogs like the New York Times and the Washington Post are people who will vote Democrat no matter what. So if your market is going to buy your product no matter what's the actual strategy to quote-unquote inform? And what that strategy is to always disparage those who think differently from you. And I said it during the election, Michael, that the Democrat media industrial complex knew that it could not make you like, and I will add, trust. It could not make you like and trust Hillary Clinton. Not even her own husband likes her. So if the industrial complex of the media cannot make you like and trust someone, what do you do? So what you do is you impugn over and over and over and over the other side, the integrity of the other side, character assassinate the other side.
You know, Rich, you're right. You're absolutely right. But here is the thing, that when I go into the community events, and I've been to several of them lately, the big problem is this. People who watched faithfully some of these programs during the primary and during the election told me that they're really disappointed in the way the media is handling themselves right now. They thought that the media would take the other side and start questioning the president. When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? How are you going to do it? Who's going to be appointed? What's the game plan? They're not doing that. They're still regurgitating the same old ideas. Who could be whipped to death and who can be just slowly maimed? And this is not what it's all about. The media, they should be doing what we're doing on this broadcast, questioning each other, asking for opinions, not cutting the person off as soon as they are saying something that particular media network doesn't want on their airwaves. The media really could make friends by saying, hey, we're going to be talking about positive ways to get our school boards across America to talk about getting the trades back and talk to the various companies that are going to need individuals to come and work in their industries as they're being restored in America. Why can't these people, some of the people on CNN and Fox and Fox Business and all, ask those pointed questions of people who have so much to say? Ask them, what is your real plan?
But Michael, we've never been, you know, this media industrial, I'm going to call it the D mic, so I don't keep saying it over and over again. We've never been further from what you're asking for, because we're the D mic, like where they don't get the basic tenet of journalism. As a former reporter, the basic tenet of journalism is fairness and impartiality. Okay, everyone has bias to some extent. As a good reporter, I always worked to make sure that whatever my feelings and biases may have been, that they did not seep into the story. And that was my approach, Michael, for 4+ years. It didn't matter if I was covering allegations of police corruption, local elections, or the third grade bake sale. I went into every story and asked, am I being fair and impartial, and am I giving a voice to the other side? And I've said it on this show over and over and over again. I'm going to say it again with the D mic. Lies are bad, but what's actually worse than lies are the omissions and the withholds. You see, here's my question for the D mic. Where was the zeal and the fervor when it came to Bill and Hillary Clinton's extracurricular affairs and their campaign when it came to Russia? Where was the fervor? Where was the zeal surrounding that? It wasn't anywhere to be found. Now I ask you, Michael, why? So if I ask you why, is there any other logical conclusion that we can come to except to just simply confirm and corroborate what I said earlier, which is that the strategy of the D mic was not to make you like someone. It was to make you fear and loathe and hate the other guy.
I agree.
That's
with that.
That's it. What other conclusion can someone come to?
And you know, Rich, you're right.
The reporters had access to everyone, Michael. They have the resources. Look, again, I've said the Washington Post before. We'll talk about media. I have nothing but respect for Jeff Bezos as a business person. Totally changed the landscape of e-commerce and internet. But Jeff Bezos, as a billionaire, bought the Washington Post knowing that he would lose money. Billionaires don't buy things knowing that they're going to lose money unless it comes to their media. And that's why the Washington Post, which I do look at these publications, Michael, because I want to see what they get all hysterical and riled up about. And I just think it's really funny to watch the D-mic get their panties all in a bunch when it comes to Fox News, which I'm no big fan of Fox. Just to be clear to everybody, I'm not a big, there's a certain host I don't mind, but I'm not a big fan of the network as a whole. But yet I watch them go crazy over this one network. It's only one network when there's like dozens of others that are part of the D-mic, and they get mad about it because they're the only game in town, Michael. on the network stations that isn't consistently leftist, right? So they get all the people looking for something other than the consistently leftist media, you know, the androgynous leftist media.
Well, you know, Rich, what I would like...
Headed by MSNBC and CNN, right, who now are relegated to just performing stunts like the tax thing a few weeks ago on MSNBC. Their strategy now is just is stunts. It's to try to bring viewers in, Michael. So that's what they're relegated to.
But you know, you see,
it's a Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey circus approach to get viewers.
Well, you're right, and I, you know what? I think that if the viewers would write in the way they write in for Dancing in the Stars and all these others, if they would write in, text in, whatever, to let them know that they want to know from the people who are going to be appearing on the shows what they would recommend to get people in America back to employment status. Nothing is more disappointing to hear from the people in industry is that we don't have enough skilled workers in America, so we have to go outside of America to bring them in on these various visas. That, to me, is very, very sad. And in many cases, it's true. I hate to say, in many cases, we talked about the sewing industry, the clothing industry, just last week during the broadcast. And a good gentleman from New Jersey and I spoke after the program, and he said, you are 1,000% right. We don't have enough sewing machine operators. And if we do, many of them are not legally here in this country. And until that whole thing is resolved, we can't hire them and make a living for them and expand our product line. We don't have industrial machine mechanics for when those machines go down. We need quality control technicians. They're just not coming out of our high school or colleges. You may get them out of these various after-college training programs, but why aren't they coming out of our regular schools that we, the taxpayers, are paying for? Then there's also the finishers and the inspectors. You go to the store, you look at the products, everything coming from overseas is as it used to be in America. Quality control, the finishers, they put the little inspection numbers in some of the clothing. They were well inspected before they put them in the wrappers. You have the packers, you have the salespeople, the management. Tell me why we don't have enough workers to fill those jobs, from management to the sewing machine operators. You talk about Brooks Brothers and all, they would expand their operations triple within the next year if they had the people ready, willing, and able to do the jobs. Now, it's not that the people are not unwilling to do the jobs. Oh, no. That's another fallacy that likes to be said. It's that the people have no training of those jobs. And for the companies to train these people is an additional expense. This is something, Richard, that also should be addressed in Washington. The people paying the taxes should, the companies paying the taxes should get a break for training employees because our schools didn't train them. So the people who need them to be employees should now be given a tax break to train them as we would train them in schools.
Michael, I see only, I don't mean to relegate to say only like I'm the only good idea here. I don't know if my idea is a good idea to be. I was asked over a business event, someone said to me in a negotiation training, he said, you know, Rich, I got to say, you're really good at this, but sometimes you may want to ask the buyer, may I be frank? And I said to the guy, I said, Milan, why would I want to ask to be frank if I was named Rich? Doesn't make any sense. So we chatted about this, and I'm not saying, Michael, my idea I don't know if it's a good idea, but I'm going to tell you this right now. I know that there's $2+ trillion overseas that I want to bring back to America.
It's a lot more than $2 trillion.
It's probably more. You're right.
Oh, Rich, it's a lot more money.
Let's call it $2.5 trillion elsewhere.
Let me say this to you. I said this a couple years ago. If all of America's realtors would just get together and start focusing the properties that they have up and ready to go with the proper electronics, all the electrical systems, the heating and air conditioning, ready to go to welcome new industries. They should all be working together. They should be sending the Department of Labor Secretary in Washington the availability, how many people could work at this facility, ready to go, loading docks, you know, the whole deal. None of that is happening. And the reason it's not happening, everybody listening and Rich and everybody who will listen to this in the upcoming weeks, we don't have them coming from our schools. Now, school boards are beginning to get the message from the people that the people are disappointed that the kids are coming out with these degrees that take them nowhere other than to be paying for that college for the next 20 years of their life.
Well, Michael, okay, so I'm not going to, look, I don't want to pick on the parents here, okay?
Well, why not? Let it not pick on them, but inform the parents. If parents were able to hear this message and see people from the school districts, and,
well, where
and
are
we
they?
Have, that's
where
right.
Are the parents?
CNN
are the parents
and these people district? Don't want them on where their shows.
What's Larkin said? Larkin said two things before on air. All politics is local, all politics are personal. Well, if there's a problem in a school district, and we know it's there, and it's chronic, and it's chronic, and it's chronic, where's the mobilization of the parents? You see, the great General Patton, amongst his many quotes, he has one of my favorites, Michael. No one ever defended anything successfully. There's only attack, attack, attack.
Right, I agree.
You've got to go after it, and he said it, and if Patton said it, it must be true. No one defended anything successfully. Attack, attack, attack. So where are they?
But you're Where's right, Rich. And where was – here's another where? Thing. Our workers need the jobs. They want the jobs. And I know – and I can give you hundreds of people just who process through our agency, ready, willing, and able to go on an employment opportunity. But the people in the – industries are afraid to start because they don't know where they stand. Are they going to be taxed to death? The Obamacare has to be changed. The new America Health plan has to be something that attracts businesses to say, I want to be able to help my employees, whether they pay all of it, half of it, whatever. I want to be able to give them something toward their health care. None of that's being discussed for 20 years. It's starting to be discussed now. But as you can see, things take forever to get off the floor. And you can't go any further, any lower than being on the ground.
Yeah, Michael, you know what? You can't fall off the floor. And I'm going to tell you what I think is the greatest lesson that came out of this past election. It was ugly. Okay, friendships were lost and were made. Most of the friendships lost, those were initiated by the Democrat voters. But that's just the reality. That's just the way it is. Okay, for the vast majority of people I know, that's how it happens. I speak only from experience. Let me tell you what I think is the great lesson from this. The great lesson from it all, Michael, is that we actually can and do influence the outcome. Elections, we can influence the outcome. Made in America, what is really, if you really think about it, Michael, Made in America is going to sink or swim. It's going to succeed or fail based on consumer demand. Now, I understand why the cheap labor market is as strong as it is. That's a whole other radio show, different conversation. I understand that. But that's going to come from consumers, where we keep hammering home this point that it matters, that we actually can influence the outcome. Schools. School boards, local districts, parents must understand. We have to keep stressing the point that they actually can influence the outcome. They can get things done when it's attack, attack, attack. That's the lesson. There are plenty of places, Michael, in the world where you can go and live as a happy serf and servant to the government. And you don't ever have to worry about influencing the outcome because you have zero influence in that country. Zero. So there are plenty of places. See, the great American experiment was really rooted in self-rule, self-governing, self-regulation, Michael. That principle is applicable in everything that we talk about on this show. And the reason that we got to keep talking about that is because when we talk a lot about these issues, and I say a lot of people doing a little, you see, the politicians right now, if I were them, I'd be a little nervous because this is the first time where you had a lot. This is the first election in a really long time, Michael, where people who stayed home or hadn't voted in a really long time decided to come out. Well, now the strategy by the opposition party, who's the minority in Congress, the strategy now is to try to make what happened basically a one-hit wonder. So we have to keep bringing this point home, that there are a lot of places around the world you could go to and never have to ever have to worry about influencing the outcome and having a say because you have no say. Well, guess what? Here, that's part of the great experiment. And that has been true, Michael, for as long as we've existed. And it's why, for some voters, they saw that influence waning and minimizing.
You know, Rich, I have to tell you.
And that's what happened.
Walmart is now promoting the fact that they are trying to get more and more American-made products in their stores. And they have been. But there's a problem that nobody realizes when they say, oh, we have a lot of stuff made in America. It's very true. Walmart has a whole advertisement plan investing in American jobs. And these products are proudly made with American jobs, proudly made by Americans. For more information, visit madewithamericanjobs.com. Now, the problem is this. They're talking about Bounty and Tide and Charmin and Pampers and all this, proudly made in America. They don't have many other products. They don't have jeans, enough jeans in supply, and furniture and lamps and irons and toasters. But they're saying that they're investing more in America's industries. Unfortunately, we're producing the products that we use for every day, like Bounty and Tide and Charmin and all that stuff. That's not what we're trying to do through our broadcast. We're trying to restore jobs of every type possible, from sneakers to clothing to toasters to televisions to computers. Nothing is more distressing to me to go and look in the stores and see all of this stuff beautifully packaged. I mean, you would never know where it was made. And that is why most customers didn't even wonder about labels in the past, because it was still the same name on the product. The packaging was the same. But when you got it home and you looked at the real, real small print, that's when you were told it was made in a foreign country, which means the only jobs that were here in America was unloading the containers off the ships, putting them on the store shelves, and selling it to the people at the cash register. That's not what made America great for 240 years. We started as a country where we invented things, that where we proudly employed people. They made everything possible. We were self-contained. We don't have to live in a bubble, but we certainly can't live in a world where our people are unemployed and others around the world are gaining skills and employment opportunities. That's point number one. Point number two, and most important point, is American workers now have the challenge to speak up where they shop, whether they're employed or unemployed. If you are buying something, you have the opportunity to complain at the cash register. You're not buying the product. Before you walk out the door, raise holy hell the way I do and make it known. I told you about some of the greeting cards and some of the other stuff now. Majority of it in the stores where I shop is American made. before, say 3 or 4 years ago, it was mainly the foreign stuff. The cards were the same price, $4 per greeting card. One was made overseas, the other made in America. The one in America I could see, but from overseas I can't see. That should be the cheaper card, yet they keep the price the same. And that is with everything. That cell phone could be made in America if we had the skilled people. If we could say, Rich, we want you to invest in making cell phones, you would know how to do it. You would know how to bring the people to the table and negotiate, you know, with the people who are going to make this stuff, ship this stuff, you know, advertise this stuff. We don't have enough of those people in the system.
I'm going to follow up, Michael, for our listeners to know. There are two individuals I'm following up with, Scott Paul, whom we've had on before, American Alliance for Manufacturing, and Dr. Walter Sue, whom we had on a few years ago talking about healthcare. Because I want Scott Paul to back me up on this next claim or to say, well, Rich, you're mistaken, and here's why. But I think, Michael, okay, and I'm not a historian here, but not since the Industrial Revolution has there been as much momentum behind Made in America as there is right now.
I agree.
This is the most momentum that we've had since that, and, you know, the initial Industrial Revolution. Okay, so we're going back some years here. And here's the funny thing about momentum. It's really hard to achieve momentum, and I think it's actually more difficult to sustain it. And that's why, you know, for those who felt the way I did about this election, and I speak only for me, Michael, but I said on the air, and I'll say it again, and I still believe it, that I think that had Hillary Clinton got elected, I don't believe the Democrats would have ever lost the presidential election or the Supreme Court ever again. It's fine if you disagree, but that was, we all have different motivations, Michael, for our vote and why we vote the way we do. That was a big one for me. Okay, so I look back on that, and I tell people now who felt that way, or at least partially felt that way, that if you think the work is done because we got the election result we wanted and we're just going to put our feet up and kick back, you are sorely, sorely mistaken. And after 241 years, Michael, the verdict is in. The American experiment is the greatest in the history of the world.
I'm sorry.
241 years, I think that's enough evidence. I mean, don't you think? That's a really long time. And yet, interestingly and perhaps frighteningly, I think about what President Reagan once said when he said that you're always a generation away from the loss of freedom. So for those who got who agree that we got the outcome we wanted, thank you for your participation. But to suggest that the work is over, no, it's just beginning.
It's just beginning.
Just beginning. And Made in America is directly tied into that, Michael. Never been more momentum. And Mark, and that's why I've said to him on air, and I embarrass him when he's on air, and I'll embarrass him now when he's not on air. Mark, to me, is the national pioneer.
Absolutely.
Of gaining that new momentum back.
This really new thing that we're going to put up on our site, Mark will talk about it next week, but he is doing something again today to promote the Made in America store and to promote the Buy American Made campaign. It's unbelievable. It's an article. It's a video. We'll post it on our site, and Mark will talk more about it. He'll be back with us next week. I do want to take the next 2 minutes to acknowledge a few of our very faithful sponsors who thank our panel members and all of you for going out and supporting the Buy American Made campaign and American workers. And they include Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, Chester Kshanovsky, and everyone from Serena's Auto Body Shop, Mr. Joseph Drobo, national president of the PRCUA, Michael Steinman, attorney at law, Dr. Eva Machak, a great dental individual from our area with two offices to serve you, Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, the Polish American Travel Service, and also Mr. Martin Bednarek and the Washington Savings Bank. Also, Dr. Wojciech Zin and Everest Dental, and Yolanda Konopacka de Scipio, attorney at law. And also, I would like to mention the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union. You can do banking online with them by going to psfcu.com. And the Sugar House Casino is a great supporter of ours. And remember, you can visit them anytime, located on Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. Visit them on the internet at sugarhousecasino.com. And don't forget the Made in America store. Mark Andel has made an unbelievable mark in his, you know, trials and tribulations, you know, having his business partially taken away by Chinese providers, rebuilding and coming up with the Made in America store. Great job, Mark. We miss you today. And of course, I'm going to ask all of you to review the links on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You can listen to rebroadcasts of American Workers Radio simply by going to the front page and click on that link. And also check out Mark Andel's site. Check out the Debt Clock. Go to AmeriLoop with Jude Watkins and also Mike Sessions with Go for Made in America. We have a lot of good things happening. If major media followed our format, things would be a lot better in here in the USA. Well, Rich, closing remarks. This was really a good broadcast. It gave us an opportunity to say some things the way we really felt it. I'd like to talk to Dr. Sue again and Scott Paul, and there are a few other people that want to come on the broadcast to tell their stories. Some of them feel a little bit distant at this point because they want to hear more about the tax cuts for businesses. But when they get on, they want to talk about bringing back the American-made label, which is something we haven't heard of in probably 25 to 30 years. It's going to be a great, great days ahead if we all stick together. Please go out and shop American. Please go out and speak up where you shop, because American workers and America's economy needs us. Dr. Loges, your closing remarks.
Oh, Michael, I agree. Great broadcast. Last time it was just you and me. I had shingles and I was doped up on oxycodone. So hopefully I was a little less rambling today for everyone. Interesting story in the news, everyone. The DNC has asked their staffers for their resignation. Let's see what that's going to bring and what the future beholds there.
Well, things are changing, and the only way it changes is if the American people take the dollars out of their pocket and focus it more on the local stores. We're going to talk a lot next week about National Small Business Weekend, which is always the first full weekend of the month. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11 here on 860, I wish you and yours the very best. Go out and search for American Made and make sure your voices are known to store managers and store personnel. Thanks for your support.
Thanks, everyone.